It's not about time, but it's more about just our time. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi amma ba'd. As the brother has just mentioned, as you all know, we're quickly approaching the month of Ramadan. So I want to remind you, brothers, of something concerning Ramadan and outside of Ramadan, during Ramadan, that a lot of people, they unfortunately, from this ummah, neglect. It's okay, I'm not going to do the class anymore. It's not enough time. He said, Adhan is pretty soon. And that is, Ikhwani, the issue of the importance of a dua and engaging ourselves in the dua. And you'll find that there's not a single person here except that he is in need of the dua. And the dua, whether you know it or not, is the silah or the weapon of the believer. And for that reason, the Salaf in the past, whenever a person was being oppressed by the ruler or being oppressed by someone else holding money or something like that, they used to tell them that I'm going to shoot him with the arrows of the night time. And the meaning of shooting him with the arrows of the night time, I'm going to get up and make Salatul Layl, Qiyamul Layl, Tahajjud, and I'm going to make dua against that individual. So the dua is the silah of the believer. There's not a single person here except that he has some issues. For an example, everyone wants to get married, get divorced, invest, purchase this, sell that. So everyone is in need of the dua of an istikhara. And if you were to ask the average person, you'll find most of us don't know the dua of al-istikhara, most of the people. And yet we find the Salaf al-Salih being a group of people who, if one of them wanted to purchase some salt from him or camel from him, they used to make al-istikhara. Even the shoelace in the shoe, one of them wanted to purchase the shoelace in the shoe, they would make salat al-istikhara. So al-istikhara is the salat the person makes seeking the good, asking Allah to guide him to that which is good. Should I travel? Should I not travel? Every single person here is in need of that. But you'll find that the average one from amongst us, he doesn't know the dua of al-istikhara. The dua of having relationships with your wife. Whoever makes the dua of having relationships with your wife, Allah Ta'ala, if he decreed that you have a child from that union, then the child won't be touched by a shaitan. So you'll find that again, most people don't know the dua of making this dua before having relations. And there's so many examples, putting on your clothes. The one who makes the dua of putting on his clothes, Allah will forgive him for his sins that went behind. The one who makes the dua of eating, Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive him for his sins that he committed in the past and so forth and so on. So I want to just make a few points about the dua that I want to remind you of and remind myself. And there are a lot of things that can be said. From the etiquette, you know, a dua has its etiquette, it has its conditions. I just want to talk about a few of the etiquettes of a dua, because a person can make dua, and a dua is ibadah. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ad-du'a hul ibadah." Dua is worship. It's worship. So there are many people who do worship in the religion, but they won't get any reward يوم القيامة. Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَقَدِّمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. We will come يوم القيامة, we will get their deeds, and we're going to make their deeds just scattered particles because they didn't do it correctly, they didn't do it with ikhlas, they didn't do it in accordance with sunnah. So people do a lot of the ibadat of Islam, but they won't get any reward. So in order to ensure that our dua is accepted, I want to give you a few things that you should consider. From the etiquette of a dua that many people don't even know, or they know and they don't practice it, is that before your dua can be accepted, you have to knock on the door correctly. You have to glorify Allah Azza wa Jalla and send salutations on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you make your dua. If an individual just makes dua, oh Allah, give me this, oh Allah, give me that, oh Allah, forgive me this, your dua is not accepted according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the one who wants to make dua, he should know that he has to knock on the door correctly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a man making dua, and the man went right into the dua. He just went right in. Oh Allah, give me this. Oh Allah, give me that. And he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَقَدْ عَجَّلَ هَذَا. This man is in haste. Why is he so quick to ask for this and ask for that? So he told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا صَلَّى أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَبْدَى بِتَحْمِيدِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالثَّنَاءِ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ يُصَلِّي عَلَى النَّبِي ثُمَّ يَدُعُ بَعْضْ بِمَا شَاءَ. If any of you wants to make the dua, then let him praise Allah first, and let him make the thana and glorify Allah, and then let him send salutations upon me, and then after that let him pray for whatever he wants to pray for. That hadith is in the Sunan of Al-Imam Ibn Majah. Anybody wants to make dua, let him praise Allah first, and then let him send salutations upon me, and then let him ask Allah Ta'ala for whatever it is that he wants. He saw another man making dua, and that other man, he did what the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He praised Allah first, he sent salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he asked for what he wanted. The Prophet said to that individual, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya ayyuhal musalli sal aw udu'u tujab wa sal turpa. Oh you, the one who's making dua, make your dua and it will be answered. Ask for whatever you want and you'll be given that thing. Now why do I say emphatically that the one who doesn't make this process, his dua won't be accepted? Because of the other authentic hadith. Kullu dua mahjubun hatta yusalla ala nabi. Every single dua will be mahjub, a hijab, a partition will be between it and Allah, until he makes salams on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. So that is from the issues, ikhwani, that we want to advise you. Also, from what will cause a person's dua to be accepted are two other etiquettes, and that is to make dua with tadarru' and khufiyatan, to make dua to Allah with humility, and to make dua to Allah secretly and quietly. Secretly and quietly. Not the dua of the turuq sufiya, huwa, 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 Allah, 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 Allah. Or you see the people after the salat, they're making the dua collectively. Allah Ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wadhkur rabbaka fi nafsika. Call on your Lord inside of yourself. Call on your Lord inside of yourself. And Allah Ta'ala also mentioned another ayat, عُدُعُوا رَبَّكُمْ تَدَرُّعًا وَخُفْيَةً إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Call on your Lord with humility, and call on your Lord in quiet, secret. Every single ibadah that's between you and Allah, it is better because it is far away from shirk, the shirk al-khafi, the shirk al-asghar, which is a riyah. The best salat you can make is the salat where you're far away from the eyes of the people, except the salat of the maktuba that you have to make in the masjid. Afdal salat al-mar salatuhu fi baytihi illa al-maktuba. The best salat of a person is the salat you make in his house, except the wajib prayer. The siyam is for Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah will reward it because the siyam is only between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. So in this case, when you make dua, dua is ibadah. It should be between you and Allah Azza wa Jal, and it shouldn't be out in front of the people. That's why we say that that tasbih is one of the innovations in al-Islam, and it brings a person close to al-riya and showing off. So from the etiquette of making dua is to keep it quiet. And I believe we went over the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when his companions were screaming out loud, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. Every time he goes up, the sunnah is to say Allahu Akbar. Every time it goes down, the sunnah is to say Subhanallah. Why do you say Allahu Akbar when you go up?
Because Allah is higher and greater.
Allah is higher, no matter how high you go up. The Prophet went on Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, Allah is Akbar wa A'la. The Rakib, Allah is Akbar al-A'la.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى.
Why do we say Subhanallah when we go down? Enter. Why do we say Subhanallah when we go down?
Because as you go down, Allah Azza wa Jalla, Subhanallah, means that He's far removed from being low, from being lowly. So they say Subhanallah. So they were screaming, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And He told them, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Arba'u ala anfusikum, fa innakum la tad'una as-sam wa la gha'ib, wa innakum tad'una sami'an qariban wa huwa ma'akum.
Have mercy on yourselves and take it easy, because you're not calling on someone who is deaf, nor are you calling on someone who is absent. You're calling on someone who can hear and He's close. And He is with you. He's with you with His ability to see, to hear, His knowledge. He's with you because you're muttaqeen, because of the description. You guys have ikhlas, you have taqwa, and so forth and so on. So that's from the etiquette, not to scream out. What time is the salah?
So, Ikhwani, I want to advise you guys to get the book by Yasir Qadhi about the dua. It's probably the best book that has been written about the issue in English. The book Yasir Qadhi about the dua. A lot of things can be said, but I think some people have some questions about some other things. So, we'll take the next 5-7 minutes to answer the questions, huh? Oh, okay. Qareeb. Any more questions, Ikhwani? What's his name had a question about the jinn issue, right? The issue came up, do the jinn have prophets sent to them from the jinn? And the answer to that is no. The jinn don't have prophets sent to them from the jinn. They have rasuls sent to them from the Bani Adam. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hajj, وَاللَّهُ يَصْطَفِي مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ رُسُلًا وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah chooses from the malaika messengers and from the people. He chooses messengers. And he didn't say that He sent the jinn. وَاللَّهُ يَصْطَفِي مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ رُسُلًا وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah chooses from the malaika and from human beings messengers. As for the jinn, the jinn, they get from their own selves what is the nadir. The nadir or the nudr. Nadir are the warners. Are the warners. Like the nadir al-uryan, they are the nadir. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned in a number of ayats of the Quran, وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا حَدِرُوا قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا فَلَمَّا قُدِيَ وَلَّوْا إِلَى قَوْمِهِمْ مُنْذِرِينَ. And remember when we turned to you, Ya Muhammad, in Mecca, a group of jinn who listened to the Qur'an. When they came to the Qur'an, they said to each other, be quiet, listen to it. And after the recitation was done, Surah Ar-Rahman, after it was done, they went to their people as warners. So the jinn used to be warners, one to another, but they didn't have Rasul and Anbiya from amongst the jinn. Allahu a'la wa a'la. Aywa.